Blog Talk Radio.
Multiplication, no longer vision, no subtraction.
than on any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never heard round this town, round this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last? It come past when these people about to fall off the earth like grass with this, like the flower fades. You know how it is these days, people getting played, being so lies of age. But my words, they spray, proclaim the most high name. And you know how it is, we ain't playing no games. Now you give me this word, so it beats the fire. And y'all be like wood burned up. Tell me that you could ever test black, never that.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yahweh be magnified. Let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters on this great and glorious day, on this sixth day, as we go into the evening time of this day, bringing you another beautiful program that Yah has blessed us to bring before you. For Yah has brought us to another week, keeping the breath of life in our nostrils, not only to praise his holy, righteous, and exalted name, but to bring you his words, nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, bringing you nothing but the truth, and it is true. That all I'm going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. However, if you're suspicious of anything that I'm telling you, give me a call and we will discuss it. 919-931-6216. I have with me my beautiful brother, Moray Isha. Would you like to say something?
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom to everyone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and shalom to you also. And before we get into another program, again, if you want to join us tonight, all those that's listening by the way of internet, let me say shalom to you all. And all those that's listening by the way of Blog Talk. There's no doubt in my mind that the only reason why you're listening and tuning in, it is because of your fear towards Elohim. So praise the mighty Yah for your presence. Again, but if you would like to join us for our program, you can call in Phone number 347-838-8963. And press the number 1 on your phone. Last week, and maybe the week before that, we have been dealing with the 7 captivities that our people have been under. Of course, our people have been under many captivities. But these were the main ones that Yah has spoken about. And they were great lengths of time. And they all have great meaning. But what is the meaning of these captivities? And what is Yah teaching us that we might extract from them, that we might learn from our errors? For truly we have made many errors. In the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, we talked about the very first captivity mentioned, even though we're living under this captivity today, Yahweh saw fit to mention it first. And why? Because Yahweh don't do nothing out of order. Everything he mentioned, everything he do, everything he bring forth, and everything about him is about order. And he wanted us to know why he mentioned that first. And we went over the scriptures to show that when Abram got this vision, dream, and the word of Yah came to him. He let it be known that Abram's seed will be in a land that is not theirs, and they will be afflicted, and they will serve their enemies for 400 years. And I asked, why 400? Number one. And number two, what do the word afflicted mean? Well, little do people know, the word afflicted means humble, to be humble. And what Yahweh was telling us is that he was going to humble us. Now, it is a truth that you can uncover the heart of one that is humble. And this is why Yahweh do it, because he want to see what's in your heart. And so this captivity have been long, and it was prophesied long ago. You would think, man, why would he tell Abram that if he's about to bless him, and he's about to bless his seed, why would he give him this nightmare? Well, little do people know, what you see as a nightmare, Yahweh see is good. And what good thing that Yahweh seen? Well, when Yahweh see that his people refuse to humble themselves, he will put them in the condition of affliction to humble them. Because Yahweh is not going to hear your cries, and he's not going to attend to your prayers unless you be humble. For Yahweh said, a contrite heart, a broken heart and a contrite spirit he won't despise. So Yahweh wanted us to humble ourselves, but since we didn't, and we're still in this captivity, he saw fit to humble us. And look, the level of humility that Yahweh required have not been seen yet. And I can assure you that in this first captivity that was mentioned out of the mouth of Yah, you're going to see what I'm talking about when the trouble that he spoke about happens. And there's only one thing that one can do to be healed from this trouble. And I may add, this is the one thing nobody wants to do. And we're going to read it for you in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. Turn there. And everybody know this by horror, but for some strange reason, nobody want to do it. And this is what it says in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, in talk people and in teaching people what the second represents. The second represents something coming from heaven. For this is the time and the season that he made heaven. And Yahweh won't establish nothing unless it's by two or more witnesses. And watch what it says in the first verse.
Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired.
And why did Yahweh have to repeat itself? Did not I tell you? Everything has to be doubled when it's established by the Most High. Go ahead.
Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you.
There you go, repeating itself. Go ahead.
Seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger.
So as we see here, in a time of trouble, in the anger of Yah, in a day of Yah's anger, and his anger is coming, he already let us know that he will return, but he's returning with his anger, first and foremost. And he's looking for the meek, and he's looking for the righteous, and he's looking for those who wrought his judgment. That's who he's looking for. And he wanted you to see that first. So that's why he mentioned the 400 captivity first, because the word affliction means meekness. It means humbleness. It comes from the same exact Hebrew word. He's going to humble us. But he's looking for those who will humble their self. For you to humble yourself, you have to have vision. You have to be able to see. And if you can see, you will seek the Most High. And if you seek the Most High, you shall be found of the Most High. Unfortunately, this is not what everybody want to do. And then we talked about the second captivity mentioned. And these are how they were mentioned in order. The next one that was mentioned was Egypt, and we talked about this. Oh, I may add, with the first captivity mentioned, right after Yahweh mentioned this captivity, Yahweh made a covenant with the man and his seed after him, after he mentioned this captivity, after he received this vision and dream, after he received the word of Yah. And this covenant was called circumcision. Of course, circumcision is just a token of the covenant, but the covenant was that he will be our Elohim, and that we will be his people, and that we will inherit the land in which Abram went to him. And little do people know, before Abram even knew that was the land that he will receive, the very first time an altar was built, according to the scriptures, Abraham built it. And he built it to sacrifice to the Most High. Now, whether altars was built before that, I don't know. But that was the first one in the scriptures mentioned. For he was the first man mentioned as a prophet. First man that had a vision and a dream. That's mentioned in the scriptures. So, and this is the first captivity mentioned. And circumcision is the first covenant of our people. Then we talked about the captivity in Egypt. Even though we went into Egypt as 70 souls free and prospered greatly in Egypt, there came a time where our people, or the pharaohs, did not know Joseph, who did great wonders in the name of Yah in Egypt. And they didn't know Joseph. And they took wise counsel to afflict our people and to even kill our people. And we sojourned in Egypt 430 years. It is the second captivity mentioned. In this captivity, even though Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were so great, they didn't know the name of the Most High. He never revealed his great name to them. But he let us know in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter, the 16th verse, I want you to read that so you'll know why Moses was even raised up to do what he did. Exodus 9 and 16.
And in very deed, for this cause.
In other words, it says, and in this very deed, and for this reason,
have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power.
In other words, to show you my powers.
And that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Yeah, Yahweh wanted his name declared throughout all the earth because the earth didn't know his name until Egypt. No wonder this is the second captivity mentioned in the scriptures, because the second is all about his name. And no wonder it's in the 16th verse, which is the order of two. But not only did Moses receive the name of the Most High in the second captivity mentioned, but he also received his words. And what was his word? His Ten Commandments, which Yahweh spoke out of heaven, is the only time in the annals of history that it has been recorded that the Elohim of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is spoke to a people out of heaven. And the same people he spoke out of heaven, he took them out of the midst of another nation and brought them to him. This has never been done. This have never been recorded at any other time in history but with us. Covenant did this represent? Well, the Ten Commandments. And yes, it is Ten Commandments. And we're going to talk about that in the near the future, the Ten Commandments. And then we didn't get an opportunity to get into the third captivity mentioned. The third captivity mentioned, you will read in the book of 1 Kings. And let us go to 1 Kings. In 1 Kings the 11th chapter. You actually read about the actual people in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, who we were under. But you want to read this first so you'll know what's going on, because this is the third captivity mentioned in the book of 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. And let me get there. In this captivity, and what did Yahweh want us to know in the second captivity? Well, he wanted us to know his name. Just like in the first captivity, he wanted us to see him. And in seeing him, we had to learn to humble ourselves. We must seek humility, seek meekness, seek righteousness. We got to see that. If we don't see that in this captivity, then we're going to be in great trouble. In this third captivity, you're going to see what Yahweh wants us to see. But in 1 Kings 11 chapter, I want you to read we're going to start at the 28th verse.
And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass, at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yah, the Elohim of Israel. Behold, I will render the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because that they have forsaken me, and have worshipped the deity and the other deities of the Moabites and of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments as David his father.
In other words, they serve three different deities. One was the deity of the Zidonians, the deities of the Moabites, as well as the deities of the children of Ammon. And they didn't walk in his ways. They didn't do what was right in his eyes. They did not keep his statutes or his judgments. And you notice this is as David his father did. Because the measuring stick of the kings, as well as the people, was David. A lot of people don't know that. But David was this measuring stick. So no matter how bad you think David was, I haven't found any in the scriptures that, other than the ones that Yahweh said out of his mouth, to measure up to him. And oftentimes people are very critical of him. And I'm going to show you what Yahweh said about this man. But the only reason why our people today still have a lamp and a light, well, not the only reason, one of the reasons, is because of David. And I'm going to show you that. But why were we in this situation? And why did Yahweh split us into two kingdoms anyway, and gave 10 to Jeroboam? Well, let us read 1 Kings 11 chapter, the first verse, and then you're going to understand why.
But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which Yah said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their deities. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart.
And you notice that he had a, in other words, he had a total of 1,000 women that was at his beck and call. This was not good in the sight of Yah at all. And Yahweh knew and told him that they would turn his heart away, but he didn't listen. And as a matter of fact, you're going to see Yahweh had to approach him twice. And then not, we tell you that it takes two or more witnesses for anything to be established. And watch what it says.
For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other deities. And his heart was not perfect with Yahweh his Elohim, as was the heart of David his father.
Why keep talking about David's heart? A lot of people keep missing that. Continue reading.
For Solomon went after the deity of the Zidonians, and after the other deity, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yah, and went not fully after Yah as did David his father.
In other words, they keep talking about David his father. Why? Why can't we see this? Go ahead.
And then did Solomon build an high place for the sun deity, the abomination of Moab.
I don't even want to read about all these abominations that Solomon allowed his heart to succumb to. Start reading at the 9th verse. Let's see what Yah had to say about this matter in this situation.
And Yahweh was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which he had appeared unto him twice.
See, he came to him twice. How many more times do you want Yah to admonish you? Go ahead.
And had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other deities. But he kept not that which Yahweh commanded. Wherefore, Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen.
And this, if you didn't know what the sure mercies of David was, or what the sure mercies of David is, this is what it is. For David's sake, because David had a perfect heart with Yah, Yah thought, for David's sake, I'm going to keep a light before them always in Jerusalem. And look what it says in the same chapter, the 36th verse. Start at the 35th verse.
But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there.
See, that's where Yahweh chose to put his name. And for David's sake.
And I will take thee And thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel.
So Yahweh made another king and split the tribe, all because this man's lust after other women, after the deities. In short, the scripture clearly lets you know he did this when he was old. And the reason why every word of Elohim is pure, and I point that out, is because even once you become old, you're not dead, and you still can succumb to your heart's lust. That's why whether you're young or whether you're old, you got to stay whole with Yah. And Solomon did not. But because of David's sake, he kept his lamp always before us. This people that Yahweh allowed us to be under as a result of what Solomon did is in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, I think it is. But let me make sure. I want to get this for you. Yes, it's not 1 Kings, but 2 Kings. And we're going to read so we can get right to it. In the book of 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. Now I want you to start reading at the 29th verse.
Howbeit, every nation made deities of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth, and the men of Cuth made the other deity, and the men of Hamath made the other deity, and the Avites made their deities, and the Sepharites burned the children in the fire, and the deities of Sepharim. So they feared Yah and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, was sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Yah and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence.
And the Almighty took, and we can't read the whole thing for time purposes, but the Creator took, when he set the Assyrians up, and he put the king of Assyria over the nations and over Israel, they will bring their own priests into the high places. And every nation made deities of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. So they had people worshiping everything, whatever they wanted to worship. And the children of Israel had to succumb to this. And why? Because of the wickedness of Jeroboam. I want us to go back, 2 Kings, please. Yeah, I want you to start at verse 18, though.
Therefore, Yahweh was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Yehuda only. Also, Yehuda kept not the commandments of Yah, their Elohim, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they had made.
And Israel, and people don't realize this, but Israel and Yehuda were not taken into captivity at the same time, nor were they removed from the land at the same time. The kingdom had been rent And so their journeys are two different journeys altogether. Continue reading.
And Yahweh rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following Yah and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them.
They didn't depart not from them at all. And watch what the 23rd verse says.
Until Yah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day.
Unto this day. Little do people know, Israel still have not returned home. Once Israel was kicked out of the land at this time, they never returned because they never humbled themselves. And the only reason, two reasons why Israel exists today, all of it is because of the mercies of Yah. Truly, Israel is all about the mercies, the tender mercies of Yah. And Yehuda, because of the mercies of David. For David's sake, Yahweh will keep this lamp forever. And let me show you this. I'll show you in a minute. But I wanted you to see that the third captivity that our people, that was mentioned in the scriptures, is the captivity that we were under the Assyrians. And yes, I know about the Philistines and other captivities, but these are the great ones. How you know they're great? The very, very first one mentioned was a 400-year captivity that still has not expired. The one in Egypt was longer. It was 430 years sojourning in a place, in a land that is not theirs. Then you have the one in Assyria, in which the scripture says they there until this very day. How much longer can you get? And watch, and the only reason I contend the only reason that Yahweh is having mercy upon us is two reasons. Well, let me just show you these two reasons because I keep mentioning it. One is in the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. In the book of Jeremiah 33, and if you understand what this Assyrian captivity is all about, just remember, Yahweh rent the kingdom out of Solomon's hand, and we became, instead of one kingdom, we became two kingdoms. We became two different houses, the house of David and the house of Israel. But look what the Almighty said about these two houses. And we're going to start reading at the 20th verse.
Jeremiah 33, verse 20. Thus saith Yah, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, and the host of heaven, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me.
Almighty said, look, if y'all can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there shall not be day and night in their season, then he'll break his covenant with David. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the sure mercies of David. Because that's what the covenant is, that he would not have a son to reign upon his throne, and the Levites, the priests, as ministers. And then Yahweh added that if they can measure the heaven, weigh the sand, then he will also do away with the seed of David, as well as the Levites, that they shall not be priests. And watch what it says, starting at the 23rd verse.
Moreover, the word of Yah came unto Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, these two families which Yah hath chosen, he hath even cast them off.
He cast these two families off. And what are these two families? The house of David and the house of Israel, they're cast off. We don't have to worry about them no more. Yahweh hate them. Yahweh have cast them off, and we don't have to concern ourselves with them. But watch what Yahweh say.
Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith Yah, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Yeah, he's going to have mercy on us. What you think the sure mercies of David is? That we are not cast off. The Almighty said he will not break his covenant, nor alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. And this is the third captivity mentioned. The Assyrians, that our people are still under to this very day. The fourth captivity mentioned is in the book of Daniel, but you got to know why. Well, no, let's go right to where it was first mentioned in the book of Jeremiah 25, since we're in the book of Jeremiah. This is the fourth captivity mentioned. Now, why did Yahweh mention this Assyrian captivity? Yahweh wanted us to know about his mercy. He's only going to save us for his mercy. He's only going to bring these two families together for his mercy. He's only going to bring these sticks together for his mercy. And the only reason, or one of the reasons, we're not annihilated today is because of the sure mercies of David. This is how much Yahweh loved David. Yahweh told Solomon and all his seeds, all the other kings, that if it wasn't because of David, my servant, for David's sake, I'm going to do this thing. But in the book of Jeremiah 25, the fourth captivity was mentioned. And watch what it says in Jeremiah 25, verse 8.
Therefore, thus saith Yah of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saying, Yahweh and Nebuchadnezzar saith Yah. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land, this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle.
Any type of celebration, any type of praise that we have was going to be taken from us. And watch what it says.
And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
And they shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And how long do you think we were under the Babylonian captivity? It was 70 years. But why was we under the captivity of Babylon for 70 years? And you're going to understand why this was the fourth captivity mentioned. And it's something that our people don't regard today. And watch what Yahweh say. Why? We was under this captivity. In the book of 2 Chronicles, not only he said we were under this captivity for 70 years, and you're going to know why, but you're going to understand why was the fourth one mentioned. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the second chapter, the 36th chapter, watch what it says in the 17th verse. And what are we discussing today? We're talking about Yah's seven captivities and why seven. Because Yahweh wanted us to see certain things. He wanted us, that's why a vision came to Abraham, because he wanted us to see. The scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But happy is he to keep the law. And what we have to learn, what we have to see, what we must open our ears to today is that we have to humble ourselves. Yahweh said in the last day, we got to seek him. We got to seek meekness. We got to seek righteousness for the great day of Yah's anger. In the second captivity mentioned, Yahweh wanted us to know his name. He wanted the whole earth to know his name. And in his name is his great Ten Commandments. In the third captivity mentioned, Yahweh wanted us to know about his great mercies and how he will bring these two sticks back together. He had torn them apart, but he will bring them back together, because this is what he would do to his messenger. And who is his messenger? His people. And who would he use to bring these sticks back together? Well, his messenger. If you don't believe me, go to the book, hold your page at 2 Chronicles, but go to the book of Malachi, the third chapter. I want you to see this so you can understand why this third captivity mentioned Assyria was so profound. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the first verse, what do it say?
Behold, I will send my messenger.
I will send my messenger. And who is this messenger that Yahweh will send?
And he shall prepare the way before me.
And he's going to prepare the way before me. Now watch this, because he's not just sending one messenger. This one messenger is going to prepare the way before him.
And the king whom you seek.
And the who?
King.
And the king Do it read exactly like this?
No, it says Lord.
And the master or the king whom you seek
shall suddenly come to his temple.
Uh-huh.
Even the messenger of the covenant.
He's not just the master. He's just not the king. He's not just the Lord. But he's the messenger of the what?
Covenant.
Of the covenant. There's only one messenger of the covenant.
Whom ye delight in.
In whom ye delight in. There's only one messenger of the covenant. And this messenger of the covenant, what will he do?
Behold, he shall come, saith Yah of hosts.
He shall come. Go ahead.
But who may abide in the day of his coming?
Yeah, when he come, who's going to abide?
And who shall stand when he appears?
Who's going to stand when he appears?
For he is like a refiner's fire.
Yeah, he's like a refiner fire.
And like a fuller's soap.
Fuller soap. In other words, he's going to clean you up. He's going to get you right, whether you like it or not. Go ahead.
And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver.
Yeah, he's going to get Levi together.
And they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness.
And see, this is what's going on today. Our people don't know how to make an offering in righteousness. But the first people that got to know that is Levi. And they're going to know. Because Yahweh said he was going to send a messenger of the covenant. And there's only one messenger of the covenant. And that's why the third captivity mention is so profound, because who you think has to bring these two families back together that was torn apart? Here talking about the fourth captivity mentioned. And we read in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, about this Babylon, king of Babylon, this Nebuchadnezzar. But watch the reason that we even had to do 70 years. Second Chronicles, the 36th chapter, the 17th verse, and what do it say?
Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of Elohim, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought unto Babylon.
He brought all this to Babylon.
And they burnt the house of Elohim and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia.
And we're going to deal with Persia, but right now we're dealing with Babylon.
To fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years.
Yeah, and Almighty said, look, as long as they out of the land, it's going to fulfill, the land is going to fulfill, and the land is going to enjoy her Sabbaths. Since you didn't allow the land to rest in its Sabbaths, so now you're not going to rest in yours. And when do the land supposed to rest? Well, the land is supposed to rest every 7 years, just like you supposed to rest every 7 days, on a Sabbath day. And even in the 7th year, you were not to work the land, because it was a year arrest for the land. But you didn't regard it, just like our people don't regard it today. Therefore, and when is the Sabbath? Sabbath, that's the fourth commandment. No wonder Babylon is the fourth captivity mentioned. And what covenant is that? The covenant of the Sabbath. And then, since we have time, the fifth and sixth captivities mentioned in the scriptures, profound captivities that alter and change the world and our people as we know it. You'll find it in the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter. Let us turn there. In the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter, I love reading about this because it's teaching us a great deal. And what did Yahweh want us to see? What was the understanding behind the captivity of Babylon? That we will be there for 70 years. Yahweh was teaching us, we got to have respect for Sabbaths. Still to this day, our people don't want to keep Yahweh's Sabbath. They're doing their own ways. They speak in their own words. They find in their own pleasures. There is no coming near unto Yah without coming near unto his Shabbat. As a matter of fact, it's called the Sabbath of Yah. But the fifth and sixth captivity that was spoken of is in the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter. And watch what it says. And we're going to start reading just so you can understand what's going on. Start at the first verse.
Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his masters and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of Elohim, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the deities of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour.
Look, you won't even read the word hour in most of the scriptures. There's only a few places where you will read the word hour. But the scriptures say in the same hour.
Came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another.
Yeah, because what he had done was, it was just great evil. Now, this Yahweh say he ruleth in the kingdom of men. He don't just rule in the kingdom of righteous, but also the kingdom of men. And look what happens.
The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy Elohim, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the Elohim, was found in him.
And that's who people need to be looking for. They should be seeking somebody who has the wisdom and the light of the Elohim. That's the only way you get out of this mess that we're in today. Watch what it says. Surely, if it can be in this captivity, as we can see in Babylon, surely if it can be in the captivity in Egypt, as it was in yourself and Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and surely if it can be in the captivity of Assyria, like in the case of Isaiah and many other prophets, sure that can be those who have the wisdom and the light of the Elohim in today's captivity. But that's for another discussion. And watch what it says.
Like the wisdom of the Elohim was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will shew the interpretation.
And so let's get right to the point. Go to the 17th verse.
Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High Elohim gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive.
In other words, this is how much power this man had.
Whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down.
Yeah, because Yahweh do this to a man. He'll give a man his power, but he's going to see what he's going to do with it. Go ahead.
But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride.
And then we keep telling y'all have to humble yourself, but nobody's listening.
He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High Elohim ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart.
He said, look here, you his son, and you've seen all this, and you haven't humbled your heart. Though thou knewest all this, you've seen what happened to your father. You've seen what I'm capable of doing. You know what I like and don't like. And after seeing all this, you still acted like a fool.
But hast lifted up thyself against the master of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy masters, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the deities of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the Elohim in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written.
And what's the writing?
And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, Elohim, hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it.
Yeah, your kingdom is done, man. It's been numbered.
Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and are found wanting.
Yeah, when Yahweh can weigh you out and your balance is false, it's the ball game.
Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
Didn't I say this was the fifth and sixth captivity mentioned? The Medes and the Persians? And why two different kingdoms? Why were these two kingdoms mentioned in the same breath? Because Yahweh wanted you to know that these two kingdoms that he's speaking of right now, because the last kingdom was weighed in the balance. The kingdom was numbered and finished. And ultimately, the kingdom was divided because of the great evil that this son had done, even though he seen all that his father had done. And what did Yahweh do to his father? Well, Yahweh did something great that he hadn't done to anybody. He gave King Nebuchadnezzar a beast heart. And here it is, when Yahweh made man on the sixth day, the very man that he made and created, he turned him into a beast. And not only he made man on the sixth day, he made the beast on the sixth day. And Yahweh wanted you to know his great powers. And in knowing them, he had to show you how he numbered things and how he weighed things and how he divided things. And the very thing Yahweh weighed, number, weighed, and divide, isn't that day and night? Why you think Yahweh told them if they can search out in number and count the stars of heaven and the heaven above and the earth beneath, that and they can change the ordinances, that it will not be day and night in their season, Yahweh will do away with the house of Israel, as well as David, our king. And of course, we know Yahweh said he don't break his covenant at all. And here's a man, just show you how this represents what I just told you. Go to the book of Psalms 104. I just want y'all to see this real quick. And I know we're running out of time. We went a little bit over, but I just want y'all to see this. In Psalms 104, start at verse 19.
He appointed the moon for seasons.
Yeah, he appointed the moon for seasons. And what season? The season of the night. Not the season of the day. But watch what it says.
The sun knoweth his going down.
And the sun know when it's supposed to go down, because they keep the ordinances of Yah. We're the only ones that don't keep his ordinances. And watch what it says.
Thou makest darkness.
Thou makest darkness.
And it is night.
And it is night.
wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth.
Well, that's when the beasts come forth. In other words, that's when King Nebuchadnezzar was turned into a beast. When do you think he came out? It was at night. Because that's when the beast creep forth. Yahweh was showing you how he divided this kingdom. This is what had to be done. In a day, he was a man. But then, when his heart was lifted up, Yahweh had to show him, oh, you're just nothing but a beast. And so Yahweh rent the kingdom out of his son's hand, and they became into two different kingdoms all together, the Medes as well as the Persians. And watch what it says in Daniel, the 8th chapter. Well, let me just read just one more thing. No, we're going to go right to Daniel, the 8th chapter. For time's sake. And I skipped a lot of scriptures so we can get through this. In the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter, I want you to read the... Start at the 19th verse.
And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation.
Yeah, the last end of the indignation.
For at the time appointed, the end shall be.
The end shall be.
The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia.
Yeah, this is the Medes and the Persians.
And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power.
But not in his power. And in a lot of time of their kingdoms, when the transgressors are come to the full, and that's what we're waiting on, a king of fierce countenance
and understanding dark sentences
shall stand up,
and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people.
In other words, he's going to be destroying everybody, in particularly the holy people. Why do you think we say you got to humble yourself?
And through his policy.
Who have policies?
Also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand.
In other words, he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to do a lot of deceitful stuff, but he's going to prosper.
And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without hand.
He's going to be broken without hand. But he's going to try it.
And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days.
And we at those days that it's talking about now. Most people don't know that. And so the Medes and the Persians are the fifth and sixth captivity mentioned. And of course, the last captivity mentioned are the Grecians. Because of time purposes, I can't get into all the scriptures about the Grecians. Because this is people that you need to know about. And who are the Grecians? Well, the Grecians are the Greeks. And we're going to let you know how the Greeks were already mentioned last. And what is their relevance. And we're going to bring you that tomorrow. So if you have any questions or comments at this time on any of the things that we have shown you, give us a call, 347-838-9898. 8963 and press the number 1 on your phone. And we're talking about the 7 captivities that are mentioned in the scriptures. All these captivities are very, very profound. Very profound. The Medes and the Persians. Yahweh wanted us to know something great. He wanted us to know when he numbered a kingdom and he weighed that kingdom, and if they are found wanting in any kind of way, he's going to destroy it. That's why he said he finished it. And as a result of their destruction, 2 kingdoms came forth, and it was the Medes and the Persians. Almost like day and night. And what was the sign? Well, the sign was that beast. And you got to read the scriptures concerning the beast. Of course, lastly, we have the Grecians. And there's very profound scriptures on the Grecians. And who are they? They're the Greeks. And one of the things that Yahweh wants us to know in everything that we're talking about, Yahweh wants us to know how he ordered things. And when he ordered things for a reason, for a purpose, because there's things we just have out of order. And if we watch and listen to Yah very closely, we will see the order. Like I asked a question to one of my brothers, how do we become established people? What must we do to become established as a people? And we're going to discuss that, and we're going to talk about that. Because to become established in anything, you must have understanding. And if you have understanding, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So give us a call. And while we're waiting on our beautiful brothers and sisters, just so you can understand this thing concerning the measuring and the weighing and the division of a kingdom, go to the book of Jeremiah 31. I just want to read this. And watch what it says. Again, what is this all about? How can we do anything without knowing Yahweh's order? It says in the book of Jeremiah 31, verse 35.
Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon for and of the stars for a light by night.
Anytime the scriptures read about the moon and the stars, it always talks about a light by night. Even though our people don't see it that way, that's how Yahweh sees it. Go ahead.
Which divideth the sea when the waves thereof rule.
In other words, these are the lights that Yahweh put in the sky to get light upon the earth to separate the day from the night, to rule over the day and rule over the night. But also, it is the thing which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. And then watch what he says.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me.
In other words, if all those things just stop happening, everything they supposed to do.
Saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel shall also shall then the seed of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever.
In other words, none I can destroy them. I can finish them up just like I did Babylon. I can do that with Israel. Go ahead.
Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured.
If that can be measured.
And the foundations of the earth searched out
and
beneath.
And if that can be searched out.
I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh.
Yeah, I will cast them off for everything they've done. Whatever it is, I will cast them off. And why? Because then Yahweh can say, I have numbered and finished them. I have weighed them in a balance. Because this is what he has done with the heavens and earth. This is what he has done with the lights of heaven. Everything is done by measure and by weight and by number. And this is what Yahweh did to Babylon. And this is why we hid the Medes and the Persians. But Yahweh measured them, Yahweh weighed them, and Yahweh numbered them also. And this is why we have the Grecians. And the Grecians is last because that has everything to do with us today. And we're going to talk about them. And we're going to deal with them. And you're going to see what Yahweh wants us to know and what Yahweh wants us to see so that we can begin return to him. The Medes and Persians, what did Yahweh want us to know? That we're going to have to learn to respect his covenants. All these are about his covenants. All these are about our ability to serve him. And that as men, we're nothing without Yah. We're nothing but a beast. So let us get ourselves together and let us return unto Yah so he can return unto us. And until next week, Yah, we love you, and so do I. Shalom.